Well, you pet stylist, you found the Groom Pod. Welcome to our virtual salon. My name is Susie, and I'm your host. I'm a mobile groomer from Seattle, Washington, and anyone who knows me will tell you I love to talk, especially about my job. One of my favorite people to talk to is my friend and mentor and co-star of the show, Miss Barbara Bird.
Hello, groomers. Hi, Susie. What have we got today?
Oh, we've got an interview, Barbara, and it's going to be a goodie. Welcome to episode 272 of the Groom Pod, recorded on October 4th, 2020 in Snohomish, Washington and Tucson, Arizona. This podcast is brought to you by listener support and through our kind sponsors, Best Shot, Show Season, Evolution Shears, Stazco, and The Absorber. Speaking of The Absorber towel, I want to tell you of a great offer they've given us. If you put the Groom Pod in their coupon code and it's the first time you've shopped at their website, they will give you 10% off. And the absorber towel is really a great technology, especially for mobile groomers, but really for everybody. It feels like a cross between a sponge and a magic eraser, and it's saving me tons of laundry time, space in my mobile. It really sucks a lot of that water off that I was dealing with just gathering in my grooming trailer, and it makes the dogs dry a lot quicker. I cut them in half so they're easier to rinse, and I store them in a bucket full of vinegar, like a Tupperware with a top on it, and they're just making my life so much better. So if you guys are interested in testing out the absorber towel for yourself, you can go to dogloverstowel.com and put the Groom Pod in the coupon code, and you'll get 10% off on your first purchase. This week on the Groom Pod, we're talking to Brian Taylor about hot dog. And Barbara, how was your week?
Oh, you know what? We are still like 100 degree weather here in Tucson, and I have to say that kind of dominates your life when it's merciless like that. But other than that, it's probably a pretty good week. How about yourself?
I've been doing pickup and delivery, so I've been driving all over the place. It's an adventure. So some people are coming here, but I don't like having people at the house. I'm not very social that way. So we have a few come here, but I'm finding everybody's willing to drive halfway. So I'm having them meet me at least part of the way over here. Then I get the dog, I groom it, and then I will either bring it all the way back to their house or I'll meet them back at the grocery store, which is still 10 miles from where we are. So it's working, though. You know, we're working it. The funniest thing has been I have done some of my bigger dogs recently, and I go pick them up, and things you would never think about as you're the mobile groomer at the house. I get this one lady who hands me Brody, the big, huge, gigantic golden doodle, and she says, "Good luck with this one." And I was like, why? And she said, "Oh, he barks at everybody. Your window's going to be covered in slobber, and you might as well wear your hearing protection, because I realize it's only about 14 miles, but it's going to be a loud 14 miles. So I prepped myself for Brody, and I've got him in the back of my little Explorer that could, and he's got windows all around, and we're driving, and he sits down like a gentleman, and he says nothing the entire way to my house.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Makes a liar out of her.
Totally. Completely different energy or whatever. He barked at a bicyclist. There was a bicycler on the side of the road. He barked at him, and I turned around, and I said, "Brody, hush." And he was silent the entire rest of the trip. But that's been the only thing. Yeah, it's definitely they're different for me than they are for mom and dad.
My week was pretty much dominated by working on my presentation for the Wisconsin Stylist Invitational webinar that we're doing. And I am so excited about how it's coming together. You know, it just, these things start to take a life of their own somewhere if you can give enough focus to a development of a presentation. Stuff starts clicking. And this seminar is really starting to click. I'm really happy with it. I'm talking about a lot of subjects other than just the boring part of, you know, what is sesame oil, which I don't cover. But, you know, it's really turning out to, I think, be very valuable for groomers. So, Susie, do you have the where people go to sign up for our webinar? You can get the whole 2 days of presentations by all these fabulous speakers for just $99. And then you have 2-week access to the recordings.
I'm going to pin it to the top of the Facebook group so that everybody can see it. Right now it is at the top of the Facebook group. So if you just go to facebook.com/group/thegroompod, you'll see the link. Click right on that link and you will find out all of the information for our seminars, which are, we're doing two there. Well, it's a two-part, part A and part B. They're next to each other.
It's a two-parter, yeah.
And it's going to be really, really exciting. And let's take a quick break, and then we're going to get right to our interview because it's a long one, and it's going to be great. All about being on TV, Barbara, TV.
All right, let's go.
You know, I've been talking about Best Shot shampoo and conditioner for over 3 years now on the pod. You can rely on their trusted mastery of coat care chemistry. We've come to know Best Shot as the authority on conditioning, odors, shedding, knots, and tangles. They are true pioneers of iconic, innovative grooming systems, not to mention great all-around stellar folks to deal with, that I can tell you. The Ultramax Pro line was engineered for serious grooming professionals like you. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about their latest new Ultramax additions. Are you ready? First up is Ultramax Hair Hold Spray. It's aerosol-free, which we love. It provides a soft, natural look, but a flexible hold that can be layered on as needed. It's fast drying, so it's perfect as a sculpting spray, and it has a light, sweet pea fragrance. I've been using it on Westie heads and Bichon heads, and I truly love it. But my favorite is the Max. The Max is a fragrance-free ultra-concentrate conditioner and detangler. In fact, just one bottle makes over 10 quarts. It gives you reduced drying time and extends manageability, and it really makes those mats and tangles disappear. If you add it to your recirculating bathing system, it becomes a de-shedding machine. You can get optimal coat performance in reduced time. Not to mention, it's in a tiny bottle, and you can carry it in your mobile really easily. You owe it to yourself to check out what they're all about at ultramaxpro.com and why so many groomers are excited. That's ultramaxpro.com. For over 30 years, Best Shot has lived up to its claims to get dirty jobs done right, so you can start making masterpieces out of nightmares in record time. Contact your favorite Best Shot distributor or catalog to order some Max and Hair Hold Spray today, made from the best stuff on earth. What are you waiting for? Ready, groomers? Here comes our first appointment. We have a special guest on today, and I'm going to do a nice introduction for him, although you guys have met him before on the Groom Pod. It's not often we have grooming featured on TV, but just recently, HBO Max gave us just that. And not only do we all know and recognize some of the people on the show, friend of the show, Brian Taylor, actually won his episode. Spoiler alert, there will be spoilers. I should say that in the beginning of the show. I forgot, but I will cut that in. Spoilers happening here. So, today we invite Brian to the Groom Pod to tell us what it was like to do a TV show about grooming. So, Brian, what was the casting process like? We all, I think, saw the casting calls on Facebook.
Yeah, so the casting process, they reach out to me in like March, right during the pandemic. And it's like, hey, we love your content. We love your social media. We love what you do with your business. We want to cast you for a TV show. At first, I thought it was a joke. But when they email me and then I know I've heard of Jessie Rona. I follow her on her page and what she does for the industry. I was like, okay, this is serious. So I also DM'd Jessie, like, hey, Jessie, I see you got a new show. What's going on? Obviously, thinking she would respond. She did respond. She's like, yes, you should definitely cast for it. I'm like, cool. So probably like a week later, they're scheduling an interview. I had to be in front of a Skype. And then I had to just fill out this application that talks about my personality, my business, what I do, how I impact, you know, the pet industry. So when I did my interview, they loved me and they said, we don't know when the show is going to film, but we'll keep you posted if you're on the show. Probably like a month later, I got an email saying, yes, you've been casted for the show. but we don't have a shoot date yet. So I'm like, okay, you don't have a shoot date. We're in the middle of pandemic. I'm like, you know, I thought that this show was going to be shot next year. So right when the Purple Leaf tour started to pick up, I got an email like late June, like, hey, we want you on the show. We want to cast you. And I was like, I don't think I can do the show because I'm about to go on tour. And so I had to send them over my tour dates. And then when I send them over my tour dates, they say, okay, you know what? If we fly you to LA and then you do the show, we can do it this week. So it was a week between the break because our first tour date was the 10th, 11th, and 12th of July. The next day, I had to fly to LA, take a COVID test when I got there, and take the COVID test 2 days later because they had to quarantine me. I passed both of the COVID tests, and then I was able to be on the show. So obviously, if I would have failed the COVID test, I wouldn't have been able to be on the show. But luckily, I was blessed enough that I passed it, and I obviously take good care of myself. So it was a blessing.
So on Hot Dog, in the industry, they said it was one of the very first shows to be completed during the pandemic and that there were no positives. So that was pretty impressive for the whole shooting. Did they put you up in a hotel?
Yeah, they put me up in a hotel for 2 days. I couldn't go anywhere and I just had to just quarantine. And then after that, I got tested. So I had to get tested 3 days before I got on the plane. I had to pass that test, then jump on the plane. When I got there, I quarantined for 2 days. And then they test me again, and then we shot, and then in the middle of the shoot, they test me again.
Did you have a roommate, or were you in there by yourself? Like, did you see the other groomers?
You didn't see nobody. You're in there. They came in and got your tools from you. They had everything in like, bags. Like, you couldn't do anything. You were just really in that room, and that's all you did in that room. Well, I was in Sand Valley, and L.A. was, like, an hour away. So I jumped in the Uber a couple of times to go get some good food, and I came back. But I had my mask on, so I was really nervous about, like, oh, I cannot be in L.A. and not go to L.A., you know?
Oh, I get it. I have a hard time being in a state that has a roller coaster and not riding that roller coaster. So tell us a little bit about the competition itself and what the show is like. It looks like it kind of is modeled after Chop.
Well, I don't know. I haven't watched Chop, but what I loved about what they did on the show was whatever area in the pet industry that you focus on, you're good at, they try to create challenges around that. You know, I work with a lot of rescues. You know, I've done a lot of transformation grooming, and I had one video I did in 2017 that went viral, had over 2 million views. I did that. So I think that's why I was in that competition, Rescue Me. While, like, my good friend Arista, she does Asian fusion. She does more of a unique look. She was in that competition. Then another friend of mine, who were more of like the color and creative side, was in that competition. I think they really cast you based on what competition they think was best fit for you, your personality and what you focus on. So they must have done an intensive social media just audit, because like we had to give them all that information. So they looked at, they just kind of see where you fit in what episode that they want you in. So it was just never one episode, because they asked me about creative grooming. I'm like, yeah, I've done some creative grooming. I know how to do Asian fusion and I know how to do all this other stuff, but what I work with people who have dogs that have been matted for a long period of time and just want a transformation, and I'm good at that. So, and I was lucky to be placed in that episode.
How long were you there total?
I was over there total 4 days. It wasn't long at all. Two days quarantine, 2 days of shooting.
I totally hesitated to even try out or send in an application because I didn't want to leave my diabetic cat. Next time.
You know, the challenge thing I've noticed in the grooming industry, and I always say this to people, is like, it's never about the dog on your table. It's about the dogs that never get on your table. And what I mean by that is like, we're so focused on that dollar, that dog being groomed, that appointment, that schedule, and then we forget to focus on giving us time for ourselves, and then also giving us time for opportunities that come up. I have a good groomer, for example. She's amazing. She works with me. And she'd be the type on her day off to go do an in-home grooming for $75 or $100, whatever she charges. And I'm like, you could have been with your family and spent time and be excited about grooming when you come back to work. We're so focused on that dog on our table that we're afraid for opportunities. A lot of people are afraid, oh, my work is not good enough. Or I'm not good. Like, no, it's not about that. It's about you, your personality, and what you bring to the table. And that's what people and opportunities look for. And I try to tell people that all the time, and it doesn't ring a bell.
Right. It is important to take time for yourself. Absolutely. And I was stupid not to try because I'm totally a fame whore. We all know that. Obviously, I'm doing this. I was going to ask if you had hair and makeup, but that seems like a silly question.
No hair and makeup due to COVID. There was no... They didn't do none of that, which is fine because, I mean, I try to keep myself clean cut. I mean, I try to take good care of myself, and I got good skin. I don't need no hair and makeup.
Oh, I agree. Absolutely. So when you were thrust onto the stage, did you get to see the dogs beforehand? Did you know about the theme beforehand? Did you have an idea of what the basis of the show? Like, did they prep you, or did you just go in cold?
Yeah, so we didn't get to know the dogs that we had to groom. Everything was surprised. They kept us very, like, we had these rooms that we were in. There was nothing in there. It was just a dark room. And you could bring your laptop, and you can't really be on the phone. And you just sit in this room, and then they call you for casting. And then you go to the stage, you put on the apron on you, and then they start to shoot. Everything was a surprise. You didn't know what you were getting into. That was unique, because if I kind of knew, I would have been like, okay, whatever. But they did kind of gave me an idea of the type of dog I would get. But it was more about what I'm going to do when I get this dog. So the dogs that I thought I was going to get, I didn't get. I got a whole different dog.
That figures.
They work with rescues, so it depends what dog is available.
Right. Okay, so you come out on stage and you meet the host, who's Matt Rogers, and he's a podcaster guy. What was your impression of the host?
Honestly, I didn't know of him too well. I kind of had to Google him to see what he does. He's a personality. He's very friendly, just really about the whole experience. So he was just doing goofy stuff and just being, that's like, I was nervous. I'm there with another groomer that I follow on social media, and then this lady who's a champion groomer and I've never met before. So I'm already nervous, like, oh my God, I got real stiff competition. And he was just making it much easier and much more chill for everybody. And then Robin, I know some friends that know her. I know she's a comedian, so she was joking too. And then, of course, Jesse is just more like dog-loving person. And, you know, everywhere it goes, like, dogs follow her. So it was really good just to be around all of that and just kind of see how they react and interact with all of us. And it was really cool, though.
What's it like grooming with the clock ticking?
Well, honestly, I was nervous, but I wasn't really nervous because I wasn't concerned with the clock. You know, I was more concerned about the dog. I think that the first challenge, I was more concerned about the clock because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with the dog. But the dog was really chill, and he just gave me one of those look, yo, whatever you want to do, I follow you. So that's what it was. And the only thing I didn't like about the first dog, they bathed the dog for me. So I was so uncomfortable, the fact that someone bathed my dog. You see, like, as a groomer, especially when you're doing competition, you want to bathe your own dog because you kind of get a sense of what the fur is and kind of see where some issues that the dog may or may not have. And they took that opportunity from us.
That's interesting because so much of the finished product is a result of the prep work. So you get out there, you didn't see your competition until you just showed up on the stage.
No, I did not know. I mean, I saw some people in the hallway. I'm like, hey, what's up, Brian? What's up? Because his name is Brian, and my name is Brian, too. So I'm like, what you doing here? He said, I'm on the show. I'm like, what? Oh, man. But that's how I did see some groomers in the hotel. But all groomers were shooting in different days. So I don't know who was who.
Right. And who was with who. So the dogs came from rescue. Did they have a handler with them, or how did that work?
They had a professional handler. They had someone, and I'm in television, they normally do this anyway. They always have someone that's focused on the humane treatment of the dog. I did something for Klarna. And it was like a pop-up store for dog groomers and beauty stylists where they groom dogs that look like their pet owners. So they always have like this professional person that caters to the dog. So that was normal. So if there was too much going on, they'll stop everything so that the dog would take time out.
this is something I've always wondered on a show the caliber of this, which is kind of a niche market. What was the craft services table like?
Due to COVID, they had an old area where you can get your food and stuff like that. But they fed you while you was on, on tour. They gave you breakfast. They gave you lunch. The shoot would be like 7-8 hours. They'll have like dinner, but it's just like simple stuff. But the crew, they had two food trucks that was outside that can make you anything. It was one of the best food trucks ever. So I was able to get a lot of different things. So I try not to eat too much because I'm nervous already. So I didn't want to like have food and then have to worry about other things because my nerve is up there and I'm like, oh, I got to make sure I'm doing this right. I can't mess up. But at the same time, I'm trying to be cool and chill. It reminds me of when I was a track runner, when a couple of hours before the race, I was so nervous because I wanted to be good, but then I was finding ways to be positive and stuff like that. So I didn't try to do too much. I try to chill and listen to music while I wait.
Our hands are money makers. We rely on them. How long we last in this career is dependent on how well we care for our hands. Evolution shears were engineered to be the most ergonomic shears out there. They were designed by a team of groomers, sharpeners, and medical professionals with comfort in mind. They started with the observation that all hands were not created equal. In fact, they are all unique and have different needs. Evolution shears are fully customizable with adjustable sizing and your choice of fixed ring, single, or double swivels. I recommend the double swivels. They're my personal favorites. Evolution shears work with your thumb in its natural position, making scissoring in all directions a pleasure. They are made to prevent repetitive stress injuries that occur due to scissoring and keep you from grooming. Lastly, they use high-quality materials but are affordable. They come in curves, straights, thinners, and chunkers, and in a variety of lengths and edges. A good thing for those of us with scissor addictions. There is a learning curve, but don't worry. The staff at Evolution will hold your hand through the whole process. Their customer service is tip-top. You can put your hands on a pair of Evolution shears and say hi to Abby, Ron, and our favorite salesperson, Chris Anthony, at many of the grooming shows. But if you're in a hurry, and you should be, go online to evolutionshears.com or call them at 877-560-3057 and buy yourself a pair or two. Be sure to ask for Chris because she'll take great care of you. But wait, if you act now... Okay, you don't have to act right now, but mention the Groom Pod when you place your order or put Groom Pod in the coupon code on the Evolution website and you will receive $10 off each pair of shears. How cool is that? Did you get the golden bone? And if you didn't get the golden bone, how important was the golden bone?
It was important to the first challenge. Honestly, the whole through the challenge, I really thought I lost. In my mind, when the first challenge came up, I did my thing, but you know, the lady did better than me, and I thought I lost. And that's all I was saying, man, I lost this challenge. This lady got this thing. She got the golden bone, and she had to use it. But she was so sweet, like she didn't want to use it. If I had the golden bone, I would have used it. I don't care. I would have used it right in the beginning or whatever. But it gave us enough time on the second challenge. And she was just so sweet about it. And she wasn't really about using the golden bone.
You guys, what's the golden bone? My imagination is going wild.
So the golden bone is when you won the first challenge, you had a bone that stops the other two groomers from grooming. So it took time away from them to finish the challenge. Oh. So the winner of the first round has this bone, and she just got a squirt, you know, make noise. It makes a little bit of noise, and then the other two groomers have to sit down for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, I thought it was a good little trick, a good little trinket that they threw in there. So you made it through the first elimination, and now you're in like the best in show competition. Did that all take place like in the same day, or was that another day? I always wonder about these things.
It was the same day.
So you finish the end, and it's you against one other person. Did you once again think you had lost, or did you know you had it at that point?
I thought I was going to lose the whole thing. Never thought I was going to win it at all. That didn't cross my mind. The second competition, after we had to go back into the dressing room for like an hour, have lunch and all that, and then get ready for the next one. My second dog was supposed to be a Pomeranian with a mix. So I'm thinking a Pomeranian. Pomeranian have really good fluff purr. I'm like, good, I can use my thinners, my clunkers, and I can do a really nice shot. And I was supposed to do a lion cut. That was my challenge, to do a lion cut. I'm like, good, I've done this before. I got this. I'm going to do really well. This is the main challenge. Whatever happened, the first challenge, didn't matter. I got me a Chihuahua with a little bit of Pomeranian, and he had Chihuahua hair.
Oh.
Yes. And then when I walked the dog, like there was a scene where we had to walk out with the dog. The dog ran through the whole circle the opposite way. Didn't want to be walked. Was like very nervous. Like they had to shoot that thing 3 times. That's why we never saw him around in the circle, because the dog was so nervous. I'm like, oh my God, what am I about to get into? And I was in my head, I'm like, this is not good. I was like saying to myself, like, I'm about to have Kojo on this table and I don't want to be embarrassed. And I was thinking about all these things. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to do my best. So when the dog came in on the table, the dog name is Baby. Baby was so afraid of everything. And the only thing I remember was my manager. My manager, Natasha's, right now we're a good friend. She's been managing Doggy Day Spot for like 5 years. So one thing I've learned from her is like I can deal with dogs. I can deal with aggressive dogs. I can deal with soft. I can deal with everything. Natasha's always remind me, like, always think about the dog. It's the dog. It's the dog. It's the dog. There's been times when I want to finish dog. Natasha would say, no, let's send this dog home. No. I'm like, the customer didn't get the dog done. I can do it. And she's always been about that. And I loved her for that, because that she taught me a lot about sometimes, you know, there's some battles you can't finish. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to start slow and I'm going to work with this dog and see what the dog gives me. So I was going to do a little bit of pre-cut. I saw the dog was acting up. I'm like, you know what? Let me go give the dog a bath first. Because I figure if I did a little bit of pre-cut, I can get a sense if the dog hates the clippers, if he hates the shears and things like that. I just kind of wanted to like introduce this little thing to the dog to see what it is. As soon as I turned on that clip and noticed the dog did not like that, like, oh no. I was like, I'm in for something. So I'm like, the best way to build trust in a dog is to do a bath. It's always worked for me, because when you do a bath with a dog, for some reason, either the dog's like, oh my God, is a change of temperature between being, you know, regular temperature, and then all of a sudden, like, they're getting cool and hot and they're getting wet. Some dogs freak out and some dogs, they calm down. So I started really slow with the dog. I got all the stuff that I needed for the bath really close to me, because I didn't want to leave the dog in the tub. So I got extra towels. I got shampoo. I got everything I need. I got the eye clean, the ear clean, everything. And I just had everything by my side. I put the water power really low and I left it on a little bit. And I just started simply just introducing everything to the dog. I started from the back and I worked my way to the top. I did massage. I gave the dog about 3 or 4 baths. And this is not normal. But I wanted the dog to feel very comfortable. And every time I did the bath, the dog got more and more comfortable with me and like more chilled and like wasn't jumping out, wasn't acting. I could see he was still afraid or whatever. And then when I finally decided I can't do any more baths, the dog is super clean. I wrapped the dog up. And from there, I just massaged and rubbed the dog. And the dog was so chill. I was like, okay, cool. So I got the dog on the table and I turned on the dryer and the dog freaked out. I was like, oh no. But luckily, I have bought a baby dryer. And I was like, you know, let me buy a baby dryer, because I may need it, I may not need it. And I bought it for creative grooming. So if I had a little baby dryer, if I'm doing a little color, it'd be easier to dry the dog. So luckily, I bought that baby dryer a couple weeks ago, and I put it in my bag. So since that high power fancy dryer wasn't working, I took out the baby dryer, and I think that was a moment they were like, "Wow, like who carries the baby dryer?" I put the dryer all the way up here, and I slowly started like, you know, drying the dog, brushing her out, and she was as more as I was doing it, she felt more and more comfortable. And literally, people were almost finished with their challenge, and I'm still drawing this dog. And I finally draw the dog, and I was like, I can't do this line cut because this dog is not going to let me do it. So I just started using my shears and my trimmers, and I just started trimming and getting the dog really comfortable with the grooming. I cleaned up the sanitary. I cleaned up the feet area. I cut the nails. The dog felt comfortable. And then I had to give the dog a break, came back. I would like massage the dog, and I was doing all the things that I did. And I finally was able to trim it and kept the dog really nice and neat. And then I put a little diamond on the chest, and the dog just jumped in my hand, would not stop, like licking me, hugging me, and didn't want to leave. I was like, oh my God, I really felt what the dog was feeling. I felt like the dog was telling me, thank you. You know, thank you for not being aggressive. Thank you for not going hard. Thank you. Like, at least I was able to help this dog get a better experience with grooming versus this challenge. You know what I'm saying? So I was like to myself, it doesn't matter. It still was a good experience, whatever. So I was like, I was okay with it. So I cleaned up. I held the dog underneath my arm. The dog just kept covering herself underneath my arm. Didn't want to let go of me, even when I gave her treats. She just literally would not stop being around me. So we just sat there. And then when the clock stopped, we all had stopped. And then they did a whole interviews and stuff. When they was doing the interview, they were killing me. I was like, oh my God. And my man like, damn, I lost this challenge, which is fine. But I'm supposed to be on the road doing pop relief. And I just wasted 5 days here. Those are 5 days I've lost. In my mind, I could have done so much more. I could have reached out to more media. I could have done more interviews. I could have done this. I could have done that. And I was like, I lost all of this, and here I am. But I was like, you know what? It is what it is. And like, there's nothing I can do about it. So I was just relieved that it was over. And then I didn't cut the dog. The dog wasn't aggressive. The dog didn't act a certain way on TV. No matter how this turns out, at least I'm satisfied on the work that I did.
Then they sent you to the back room to wait for a while, I assume, because it always seems like, you know, when they come back out, everybody's been back there for a while.
First, I think they had us come up one at a time to talk while they critique everything. Of course, the critique was hard. And I was like, when is this filming over? I just really want to get out of here. They critique. So I thought the lady won. Then I thought Brian won. All that time, like, all right, one of these guys won. I'm going to congratulate them. Whatever. After they did each one of us, where they went and critiqued us, we all stand there, and then they waited for the winner. I think, I'm not exactly sure, because you know what? I haven't watched the episode because I was so emotional, and the state that I was in was so, like, hard for me that I don't want to feel like that again, because I know how I felt. So that's why I haven't watched the episode.
I'll watch it for you.
It was a good way. It wasn't a bad way, but I was so vulnerable that I just couldn't help myself. Because mind you, I had this pup relief going. I've lost my business. And I'm here, feel like I'm wasting time. I'm getting stressed out because my staff is calling me about pup relief every 5 minutes. I was getting phone calls when I was in the waiting room. I was already under a lot of stress. And plus, I was eating a lot. I wasn't working out. So like working out is so important to me. So all of this was happening. So I was already built up emotionally. I needed to like release myself. And normally, I would work out, you know, like we all cry. It is what it is.
I'm crying right now.
I knew you had those glasses on for a reason.
You know, I have personal problems too. So basically, I think they called her first and they told her that like she won something. Or I think Brian, I don't remember exactly who they called first, but like the second runner up. So when they called me, I'm like, this is not true. Stop playing games with me. And I was like, what is going on? This is not true. No, stop. Stop. I was like, I didn't believe. No, that's not true. I don't believe this. Like, that's the other Brian. And it's not me. And I just started crying. Like, I just couldn't stop crying. I literally cried for a good 15 minutes. Then everyone started crying. Like, the cameraman was crying. The lighting director were crying. Everybody was crying in the studio. It was a big cry fest. Like the lady that was the woman that took care of the dog for us was crying. Everybody was, it was like 10, 15 of us in that studio. Everybody were crying. And I was like, Why y'all got me crying on camera? Oh my God, the dog father is crying on camera. This is not good. And it was like the most amazing cry I ever cried before.
Well, at least it was a good cry. And of course, spoiler alert, you won. So did you get a giant check or did they give you a normal size check?
Well, we haven't got the check yet. I'm still waiting on that check.
Oh,
I think we're going to wait the episodes to come through, then they'll send us the check. But what they did that really got us really amazed, no other episode, they gave us additional $5,000 to everyone where we can give to our rescue.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I don't know if they show that or not. But so I won the $10,000, and then I get an extra $5,000 to give to a rescue, which I will be giving it to. And then each of them won $5,000, and then they got an additional $5,000 for the rescue of their choice. They literally had to call corporate. They went and called someone upstairs to approve that. So that's what made our episode so special, because everyone was so touched by the episode and the fact that we were working with rescues and they wanted to give back, and the fact that we all were so emotional. Everybody cried there. And we all got close and connected by that episode. And I was so shocked how that happened. And I was so thankful. Yeah, it was, and ever since that, I've been getting really good compliments and DMs. I wasn't planning it. It wasn't forced. It was just a natural human reaction to an experience from a dog that really touched me. And I wanted to rescue her, but in a week later, she was rescued already.
Oh, I'm sure. I'd be surprised if somebody in that room didn't take that dog.
Yeah.
So how has it changed your life going forward, other than you're way more connected?
I'm definitely getting a lot more groomers following me on social media. On my social media has kind of picked up a lot. We got a lot of followers. And I think this helped me in terms of, ever since I posted that thing on Andis, I just feel like, especially the white groomers, they really don't know me and they judge me. And I kind of see a lot of them come in and support me now, which is great. I'm very positive person, stay positive, and I'm working to get my business together. But all these things that's happening are happening because of, I've been working for 10 years. I've been pushing myself. I've been doing a lot of stuff in my business and in my community. And now I'm just getting the rewards from that. But I just felt like I never had a bad intention. I just posted something that was important to me, and I was giving back to the groomers who were supporting me. And people took it the wrong way. And I had a conversation with Andis, and they explained it because they didn't have enough supplies. And here they are giving me 50 clippers. And while the whole industry needed clippers, because a lot of the consumers wanted to do the TikTok challenge, and they were clipping and grooming their own dog. So they bought all the clippers. So here I come with this, pushing this clippers, and some people just felt offended by it, and I don't care, but I respect the fact that you felt offended because of the real emotion. But at the same time, I was just showing love to people who came out to support what I was doing. And now I think this show kind of helped know who Brian was to a certain extent, knowing that, you know, there's nothing malicious when I do things. I do things because I think it's dope. I'm very open. And some people take it the wrong way and they don't understand that type of energy.
Yeah, we love it here on the Groom Pod. And we look forward to anything you want to share with us, anything you want to announce.
I'm working on something called Doggy Economics, where I'm talking about the importance of understanding the numbers and what's important in your business. I think a lot of groomers focus on the creative aspect of the business, of how well the dog is groomed, or how great of a design that I did on this dog. I'm like, but they're not clocking like them. I just spent 8 hours doing this design, and I could have spent 5 of those hours finding new clients, earning more income, you know, living better. Like, that's the aspect of the doggy economics, where you should be able to have a balanced life, make the income you want, live your life, and still grow your business to the numbers that you want. So that's what I'm working on. It's going to take a while, so definitely when I have it together, I'll definitely announce it. But I have a lot of great things coming on. I'm going to be in the Puppy Bowl. I can't really talk too much about it, but I'll be in the segment of that.
Cool.
And then really, the next tour is going to be the 1st to the 6th. We're going to be in Louisiana. We're trying to find a home base in Louisiana. I think that we may be in Lake Charles. We want to help, and we want all groomers to come and support and help as much as we can in that community and give back. You know, I mean, those are all the things. And then I lost some weight, so I've been really working out. I've been focused on the groomer being fit, because I think a lot of groomers are not fit. They drink a lot of Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks, and they don't take care of themselves. So being a fit groomer would keep you on the table to groom more. It keeps your posture better, and you just have to spend time, 45 minutes a day, on finding a workout that just fits your whole being. Your posture is very important. And just living the best quality of life while you groom, and taking time off so you can focus and rest your body. Because a lot of groomers think, oh, I can groom so many dogs, not knowing that when you use this and you just use your clippers, copper toner is coming down the line. And all these other things are coming because of the way you hold your wrist, the way you do physics. So, like, these are things I'm listening to my body, and I'm really trying to figure out how I can continue to groom, be a boss in my business, by the same sound, make sure I take good care of my health.
Yeah, cool. You're speaking our language.
Good. Love it, Brian.
Well, let people know where they can find you.
Everything is business now. Like, even my personal page is business. I try to keep it personal. So my personal business page is called The Dog Father Harlem. On my business page is called Harlem Doggy Day Spa. On my nonprofit, it's called Park Relief. And of course, you can find me as Brian Taylor on Facebook, Clapper, and LinkedIn. I've been on LinkedIn a lot lately because I like to share all the rewards and the wins that we're doing. And I'm looking to collaborate with different people, and I'm looking to partner up with, like, you know, brands and, you know, distributors, and see if there's opportunities to help groomers, you know, get the appreciation that they need during this hard time.
Well, we got your back anytime you need us. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Thank you for having me.
So, Barbara, what's new over at show season? I got an inkling. A little bird told me there might be something coming down the pipeline. What is it?
Yeah, I'm excited because show season now has hemp conditioner. So we've already reviewed and appreciated the hemp shampoo that they have. It's a non-sulfate shampoo, seems to be very mindfully formulated. And in the past, what we would do if we wanted to have additional conditioning, more serious conditioning, we would use their hypo conditioner. But now they have a conditioner that's been formulated to match up with the hemp shampoo made by the same formulator. So that's exciting. I'm looking forward to trying that. I just got wind of it, so we'll try some out and get back to you on that.
I love this about show season. They're always looking for ways to better the products. They're looking for new things they can infuse in there. They're so willing to work with our ideas, and they're just great people over there, aren't they?
They really are, and they really do listen to groomers, and they're always upgrading and improving and adding to, and if there's a certain fragrance that you just got to have in a shampoo, you need to tell them about it.
Yeah, that's cool because they are also environmentally thoughtful, and they're trying to keep their local sources, and they're great people. And if you guys want to support a great company like Show Season that supports the Groom Pod, you can do so by going to their website, showseasongrooming.com. And if you haven't already, set up your wholesale account and do that on the phone. Their phone number is 678-382-0218, or email if you already have their setup. But really, they're at lots of local distributors. They're all over the place. I think that they're at Groomers Mart, but I know that they're at Cascade Grooming Supply. Man, that was a great interview, wasn't it? That was really fun. I totally dig Brian Taylor. He's one of my favorite people in the grooming industry right now, and I'm so glad that he's going to be part of the show in any possible way, including being a guest every now and again.
Me too. I adore him. He has so much to offer. I mean, it just comes out of him. He hit on like a dozen talking points. He doesn't realize that he's just spitting out jewels.
I know it. I know. And not to mention, in our industry, it is not a horrible thing to have some eye candy to look at. And Brian's a little bit of eye candy on top of everything. Sorry, Brian. I know you're going to listen to this. A creepy old lady. Anyway, you know, it doesn't hurt us to have nice young men in the industry teaching, because that's going to attract the young ladies. And I think it's a great idea. And he's so vivacious and energetic and effervescent. And like you said, he's just spitting out gems all over the place. And by golly, he's a pleasure to talk to. And it's really fun to have him on the show. But we are done. We're done.
All right.
Cool. All right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. We've got good stuff coming up next week. We're going to talk about oatmeal and who knows what else. But meanwhile, have a good week. Happy grooming, everybody. See you next week on the Groom Pod. Bye-bye now.
Take care of yourself and don't forget to wear those masks. One each.
Well, stylists, it's time to sweep up the hair, clean out the tub, and turn out the lights on another episode of the Groom Pod. Remember to join the discussion group and be part of the show by liking us on Facebook at The Groom Pod. You can find Barbara online at groomblog.blogspot.com and at her shopping site, www.shop.bbird.biz. You can email me at Susie, S-U-S-Y, at thegroompod.com, or Barbara at barbara@thegroompod.com. Please tell all your friends about the show and leave comments and reviews anywhere that you can. And also, please support the sponsors of the show. They make it possible for us to continue on. So on behalf of Barbara Bird and myself, thanks for listening and see you real soon.